Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place, Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight. It's awesome. Tonight we are dealing with our very last book. We have a couple of chapters in this book, but tonight we're dealing with Dr. Charles Spurgeon's topic of Have You Considered My Servant Job? Have you considered my servant Job? So if you would join us tonight as we start off with the following agenda, we'll have start off with prayer as always. We'll have scripture reading. If someone could read the chapter from Job, Minister Josephine, are you there?
I'm here.
Would you read the first chapter of Job that deals with the story about the Lord and Job, the whole context, so that we know that's Job chapter 1.
Yes.
And after we have the scripture, we'll have a song, No Weapon Formed Against Us Shall Prosper by Fred Hammond, and then after that we will have our intercessory prayer and go directly into the study. So with that, we'll come after that and find out who we have on the line with us. God's blessings be with us as we go forward. Amen. Amen. Not sure, don't recognize some of the numbers online tonight, but we're so grateful that you all joined in to help us. Amen. So as we start, we're going to start with prayer. God, we come before you. We are so grateful and thankful that you have blessed us tonight. You are with us and you have not left us or forsaken us. And we have been we're obedient in that we have come to serve you, to be with you, to trust you, to have sit at your feet, O God, and receive revelation knowledge. We are so thankful that we are your vessels who will touch the lives of people in 15 different countries. So I'm asking as we come together tonight to have this discussion about Job, asking the question when the Lord said to the enemy, have you considered my servant Job? And so we come, we ask for the Holy Spirit to dwell with us, to empower us, and to give us the vivaciousness that will encourage people, the excitement that we have about you and the Word of God, that others are drawn at the end when we give an invitation to accept you as our Lord and Savior. So God's blessings be with us tonight as we go into this service. I don't see who's on the line. I'm not sure. So I see it's Minister Josephine. If you could prepare and that sometime tonight you'd be ready to do the invitation to close us out. I don't see anybody else that has joined us. So if you don't mind, if you would close us out tonight with the invitation. In the meantime, in between time, I want to do a little bit of housekeeping so that people know. We're so excited if any of you choose to join us tonight. The number to call in is 646-478-4932, and we welcome the support. We've got a few online tonight. We don't have a large team. People are not doing well tonight. People are busy, and so we're asking for support. Please feel free to join us. As we go through the service, we're asking that as you're in the studio, do not be on a speakerphone as that interferes with the acoustics in the studio. So if you will please be mindful of not using speaker phones in the studio. Feel free to wear a headset, no problem, but no speakerphone. And then after we go through, we're asking that as you prepare for intercessory prayer, that you would think of someone, some friend, family, loved one, neighbor, someone you work with that has a need of prayer, and that you would bring forth their prayer petition so that we could lift them up in prayer, your families, yourself, and prepare as we move towards that direction as well. At this time, as we have had the prayer, we're going to have scripture, and after the scripture, we're going to have song and then intercessory prayer. So, Minister Josephine, if you would read the scripture.
Okay, the scripture tonight is taken from the book of Job. And just as a prelogue, give you a little bit of history about Job. He lived in the land of Uz, U-Z. And this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He did everything in his physical power to please God, even as far as his family was concerned. They had a custom in the land where Job's son would have feasts, and they would invite people over and just have a great, great time. And they would eat, drink, and be merry. And Job, in his consciousness of God, said that he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And Job wanted to make sure that he was pleasing in God's sight. So now I'm picking up in Job chapter 1, verse 6. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And I'm reading from the NIV version. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Thanks be to
Amen.
God.
Mm-hmm.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me. release if you believe it for you. Yeah, yeah,
there just ain't one.
Although they've said, let it trap you, I want you to know it won't work. Ooh, no, no, no.
Praise the Lord. No weapon, not one, not your health, not finances, not one weapon is going to work. Said, didn't say they wouldn't be formed against you. They're going to try it, but it's not going to defeat you. And that's what we've been talking about these many weeks, about prayer and spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if there are any prayer requests on the line today. Anybody?
Well, this is Minister Joe. I would like prayer for my grandchildren that they will come to know the Lord for themselves.
Yes.
Swiftly.
Amen.
Sooner than later.
Amen. Amen. That's a wonderful prayer.
This is Dr. Susie. And
hi, Dr. Susie.
I didn't know you were on, Bishop. So glad you're here. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm excited, and I asked about job opportunities and wanting to pray for the veterans. This is a time when people, we seem to be losing veterans to suicide, and just asking for strength and resilience for them. For veterans across the country. Also,
amen,
want to lift up the Bible study, and to again lift up revival in the church itself, that people,
yes,
would come and begin to study and be prepared for the rapture, because God is coming back and we need to be cognizant that everything is pointing to that as we are moving towards people who don't care about children, your family, your loved ones. People are killing everybody, killing each other. The economy's going to buckle. Things are getting ready to happen and are happening. Switches of the digital dollar to the from the regular dollar. The changes that are taking place to move us and set us in a system, so we'll have one monetary system of finance, one economic structure that we all are using, which is according to the Bible. We're moving into that period of revelation, and for just getting ready for God to come back and to get,
amen,
us ready, you know. And,
amen,
my children, and prayers for my children. I want to be like Job.
Yeah.
Good evening, Bishop. This is Margaret in
Brooksville. Hi, Margaret.
Satan has hindered me. My phone got left in the trailer on Sunday, and I won't be able to get it until Friday. But my husband let me use his phone, so here I am.
And I didn't know that number.
Well, I sent you a message today on Messenger to let you know.
It was probably on his phone.
That's why. But I sent it from my Facebook. I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
But it things happen, as you see. I've been hindered a little. My prayer is the Lord would double up his effort around me, because I have sensed increased hindrance in my life. But to God be the glory, to Jesus, my precious Savior, thanksgiving and praise, because I'm able to be here today
and
Amen.
Still standing.
Amen.
I ask for prayer for the homeless community here in Brooksville. They've been evicting them from their campsites in the woods.
Hmm.
And many are discouraged. I also ask for prayer for the homeless here, continued strength and provision for them. And I also ask for prayer for my husband, my children, and my grandchildren.
Amen.
Continued protection and guidance from the Lord.
Amen.
And for their children to be. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Well, again, we can't stop the spirit of this age. We can pray that we would be protected. The things that we're seeing now have been prophesied. It's been recorded in Holy Writ.
Amen.
And it's for us to be just like the plagues were put on Egypt over in Goshen. It didn't bother them. Okay, so that's where we are, and I want to pray for, and I'm being selfish now, I want to pray for every teacher
that's
getting ready to go on break. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really a break. We're rebooting.
Yeah, we are.
I want to pray for every educator. And I heard the lady say, a teacher is one that indoctrinates. An educator is one that leads one out of ignorance. And I choose the latter.
Okay.
Amen. So, let's go. Are there any other prayer requests? Go to the Lord. God, we extol you. We exalt you. We adore you. We love you. We bless you. We bless your holy name. And we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to come into the palace and even into the very holy of holies. We come in to obtain mercy. And, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We don't take it lightly. As long as we've been studying this book about prayer, those of us that have been studying it have had a greater sensitivity to prayer and to approaching your throne and knowing it is a holy and bold act to come before your presence. And we thank you, Lord. We bless you. We glorify you. We honor you, Lord. We lift up Minister Joe's grandchildren, Lord God.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Lord, I thank you. We touch and agree that you would send ministers across their path, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
To authentic ministers, somebody that can get to their level, somebody that they could see the Jesus in them, and that minister would have the anointing to reach them, but not only reach them, but the message would get into their hearts.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, you said in your word that our whole household could be saved.
Yes.
As for me and my house,
We will
serve the Lord.
The Lord.
And we bless you for it right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we know the time is winding up. It's getting desperate out there. The enemy is lurking and seeking whom he may devour, but not our kids.
Mm-hmm.
We put a hedge of protection and covering over our kids, over Joanne, over Minister Joe's kids, God.
Amen.
In the name
Thank
of
you, Jesus.
Jesus.
In the name of
cover
Jesus.
Them in the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
We bless you and glorify you. Lord, we thank you for Dr. Susie, all of the seeds that she has sown into the kingdom of God. Lord, everything that she's done out of her heart, out of a heart that is tender towards you, that wants to serve you, that wants to please you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you that job is there with her name written on it. And, Lord, I pray that you would close the door anybody who would try to walk into what you have for Dr. Susie. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and we're true on earth, greed is touching any one thing, it shall be done of our Father which is in heaven. We thank you, Lord God. No counterfeit offers, only the real God. Lord, you said in Psalm 5 that you would encompass us as with a shield of favor. And we thank you that there's a shield of favor that surrounds Dr. Susie concerning this job in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up James, we lift up Jamie, we lift up Sydney. Lord, bless them, touch them, keep them, bless them where they need it the most, build them up where they've been torn down, strengthen them where they are weak, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we pray for revival in the church. God, we need you. And, Lord, we know that you're not going to rapture up a weak need church. We know that you're not going to rapture up a church that is half operating in the gifts. But Lord God, let us increase in power, increase in prayer, increase in anointing, increase in love, God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. That we would show forth the love of Jesus, that it won't be fake or counterfeit, Lord God, but it would be authentic. By your hatid, you have drawn us by your loving kindness. Help us to mirror, and not only mirror, but live out that loving kindness, your hatid, your agape. By loving kindness have you drawn us, Lord. And let us draw orders. Let us draw others with that same loving kindness, God. We bless you. We glorify you. Lord, help us and keep us on the wall that we would not fall prey to the seducing spirit that are trying to get us to take our mind off of Jesus. Lord, we bless you and glorify you in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that you would put up, as Margaret said, that you would double up on your effort for her. We praise you for Margaret being able to get on, and that she even went past the obstacles, oh God, that the enemy would try to set up. And Lord, we thank you that Margaret is still standing. We pray for the homeless, God. And even as Margaret said that, I feel led to pray for those people that are putting up these injunctions against the homeless.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus, you remind us that the poor we shall have with us always. And in as much as we have done it to these, the least of these, your brethren, we're doing it unto you. So, Lord God, I pray that you would let the Holy come into those meeting rooms and remind them of this truth, that they're running you off. They're evicting you, not those people that they see that don't have a palatable smell. They don't look inviting or welcoming. And, Lord, even as they're being evicted, I pray that you would regulate their minds. Some of them are my fellow veterans, God. Some of them are, that's somebody's daughter, that's somebody's child, that's somebody's brother, God. Lord, help us, God, to not dehumanize those people that are out of doors. In Jesus' name, we pray for a revival across this earth, God, in every land that is represented here on the line tonight, those that are listening in Asia and Africa and in Europe, and in the Americas, oh God, in the islands of the sea, God, we pray that you would help us. And send laborers to this portion of the vineyard. Let this ministry here on Love Connection connect people by love, God, in the name of God. And Lord, we're so careful to praise you, glorify you, lift you up, and we just extol you and exalt you and be with us throughout this day, throughout this Bible study, in Jesus' name. We bless you and we glorify you. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. As we come to this portion of the Bible study, we'd like to invite everyone to introduce themselves, to say their name, where they're from. For example, I'm Dr. Susie from Crawfordsville, Indiana. And whenever you get ready to speak, if you would just say, I would, as an example, Dr. Susie speaking, and
if you do the same thing so we could get used to your voice and kind of understand the etiquette in the studio. Also, if you hear me say, thank you, brother, or thank you, sister, I'm trying to get you to wrap it up because, you know, we only have so much time on the Bible study. So make your statement succinct as you can. Also, mm-hmm. just wanted to thank everybody for coming and being present. We didn't think we'd have a lot of people here today. Knew we weren't because folk wasn't able to get here. So just asking blessings on those of you who showed up. We have 15 countries around the world that we minister to, and it's great to have support, people who are willing to share the word and get the word out there. So thank you again for coming out. So can we get an introduction for who's on the line tonight?
Go ahead, Minister.
This is Minister Josephine Manns. I'm in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Amen. This is Bishop Michael Snoddy. I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
I'm in Brooksville, Florida. Excuse me.
We can't hear you. Can you talk a little louder?
This is Margaret. I'm in Brooksville, Florida.
Where's Margaret from? I didn't hear you, Margaret.
She talks so soft. I don't.
I'm in Brooksville, Florida.
Oh, you're in
Brooksville,
Westville, Florida. Brookville, Florida.
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me?
Right.
Yes, I can now.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to share where they're from?
Yes. Oh, wait a minute.
Yes.
Yes, this is David Lewis. Dr. Susan invited me. I'm Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I have my mother and Aunt Lewis, listening with. God bless you all. Better don't lie.
Welcome,
praise
brother.
God. Praise yeah. God.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that wanted to share tonight? Well, if you decide you want to share, we have like four or five more people on the line. Feel free to listen however you want to respond. If you want to, feel free to do so. If not, thank you for joining us and being present on the line to provide support. God's blessings be with you, and thank you for showing up. All right. So tonight our topic again is, have you considered our servant Job? And Minister Josephine stopped at, what verse was that?
So, I was at 12. Did you want me to read the whole chapter?
Yeah, I want to go on to 22 because we're going to cover
okay.
the whole thing.
Okay.
So
then picking
we go
up,
from there.
Yeah, one day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And while he was speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on our camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. And yet while he was speaking, another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. At this, Job got up and tore his robe, shaved his head. He fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing.
Amen. Amen. My goodness. My goodness. So my question to those of you who are on the line tonight, what jumps out at you when you hear this story? What is the first thing, you know, from the fact that his sons were feasting, the fact that they died, how he burnt offerings for them, preparing his kids just in case they had sinned, that he, and then you see the first situation where the first divine council was assembled, what happened there on through that to how Job lost family and property, and his response. What jumps out at you when you hear all of that?
This is Bishop Michael in Tulsa. What jumps out to me is to all of these tragedies, Job's response was praise. He just said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I'm not so sure if I would have had that attitude, you know. Also, the thing is that he, even though he ascribed it to the Lord, it was Satan that did the thing. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's my response.
So,
I'm surprised at that. Yes.
So the big thing that baffles you or jumps out at you is all the travesty, all of the suffering, all of the struggle, and the response.
The response.
Did I hear that clearly?
You did, Dr.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Minister Joe, what jumps out at you?
Oh, Lord, I was just reflecting and thinking about some of the things that happened in my life. Can't even compare what was
mm-hmm.
happening to Job. I mean, just rapidly in succession before he could take
mm-hmm.
another breath. And
yeah,
I mean, it was some of the stuff I think we all been through has taken our breath away. But this, I don't know how his heart even could stand it. I don't know. Humanly, as Bishop Michael said, it had only been the God in him that carried him, because I know he was torn. He had to be torn.
Mm-hmm.
But the love that he
Amen.
Had for God overshadowed at that moment his grief and his sorrow. And the only thing that he could think of was that the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord
Amen.
Be praised.
Mm. Wow. Is anybody else willing to share their experience of what jumped out at them? Anybody else want to share? Margaret, what jumped out at you?
I'm hearing this weird noise on the line.
It's like
I'm hearing
it
too,
too,
Margaret. I don't know what it is.
It's like
mm-hmm.
Well, I'm trying to concentrate on it going
sounds like something like zipper or something.
I'm going to mute my phone to see if it's on my end, let me see.
Yeah. Why didn't everybody mute their phone except the one talking? Okay. Okay, it stopped. It was Mr. Carter's line, and he hung up. All right. So, Margaret.
What jumps out at me is the incredible example of sainthood that Job displays, his faithfulness to the Lord despite there must have been, I mean, there was some suffering there, and but he never blamed God, and so he was righteous, and he continued to be righteous to the end despite the incredible suffering, and who wouldn't believe that the Lord had abandoned him? And yet he knew he didn't. He didn't have any anger to the Lord.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie, and we have all come up with some really deep pieces. And I think that's typical because Job hits us all. It's so much of it. And there's so much emotions that, I mean, there's so many highs and lows in this book, I tell you, that it and so much depth, so much to draw from it, that there's lessons upon lessons to receive. So even though we'll talk about issues related to this, we won't hit all the high points that we can get, but we'll just hit some of them. And for me, when I listen to the story, the piece that blew my mind is that God initiated it. Oh, my goodness. God initiated. And I was like, oh, my goodness. For me, as I was reading this and I was seeing the two scenes that were occurring in heaven of the divine councils, and you know, these supernatural beings that were meeting with God, that God created. And then the accuser, right, Satan, going around, and he says his business is to roam the earth, right? And he's committed, right, to doing the things that are evil and mean. That's his business, to roam the earth. And then he comes before God with the other angel, and he acts like, you know, shoot, I done been around doing all this stuff and overcoming people and, you know, getting them to serve, turn away and serve me. And then God says the thing that blows me away, have you considered my servant Job? Wow. He's the one who's actually bringing him up and inviting him to be tested. And when I saw that, I was like, oh, my goodness. But then I understood Job and God had this relationship. They were in covenant relationship. They didn't just have... Because he said God's statement was that Job was his servant. Implies more than just servitude, but it implies covenant relationship. And so when we see this covenant relationship, then we understand the purpose is not just to test Job as some end in itself, but Job then gets the opportunity to honor God, whom he pledged his allegiance to, right? Mm-hmm. And this becomes the significant part of the cosmic struggle between good and evil, between Job's adversary, the accuser, and the Lord. And it's amazing, and it blows my head every time I think about it. And then I go back to a question, as Spurgeon did when he said, have you consider my servant Job? So if that's what he did for Job, have mercy. Does the Lord ask that to him of us? Does he say, have you considered my servant, Bishop Michael? Have you considered my servant, Margaret? Have you considered my servant, David? Have you considered my servant, Minister Joe? Have you considered, Dr. Susie? You know, have you considered? So I stopped, and Lord have mercy. I don't know about you guys, but I start thinking about my Jobet experiences. I started thinking about the time when my daughter died on a Sunday. We had a funeral on a Wednesday. My son was in the hospital and almost died on Saturday. Have you considered my servant, Dr. Susie? And I was talking to Bishop Michael, and I said, this was really bothering me. He said, you know, sometimes, I don't know where he is on it now, but I had to realize that I didn't do like Job and worship God when I was hit with my daughter's death. I didn't. I think I went into some sort of sense of numbness. And then after that, it took me a while to come out of shock. And then with all the screaming and hollering and crying in my own corner by myself, walking up and down, talking to God, trying to figure it out, not understanding, I was absorbed in me and my loss. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say how long this encounter with Job took either. There was no time frame that we have on how long it took him to get through this process. What do y'all think about that? What about your experiences? Did anybody have some stuff in your life where maybe God said, have you considered my servant? And fill in the name of your, the blank with your name. To come off mute to talk. Well, I did.
When I was
I didn't immediately.
You know.
Go ahead.
Dr. Susie,
this is Bishop Michael.
Bishop Michael. And
okay.
When my children's mother left and left me for her boyfriend who she had before I got involved with her, I had a couple of moments, and they weren't praise God moments. Hallelujah. It took me through, and this thing lasted. It took me a while to forgive. It took me a while to just release. Till now, that whole scenario that was set into place, here some close to 40 years later, there's the admission of the ex-wife that I was wrong. Well, I wasn't looking for that. That's not why I married you. So there was some anger. There was some, you know, some times of bitter moments. And until I got to that point of where I recognized that wasn't God. God was nowhere in that. But it was like I would go harken back to every time I would read Job, I would go back to that part of not being able to raise my kids and having seen the anguish and the hurt. I didn't have a praise God moment. I didn't have a, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord moment at that time. But
yeah,
I noticed
at that
God
time.
took me
mm-hmm.
from place to place. He never left me. And even when I wanted to leave, I'm going to be honest. Even when I wanted to walk out, to run away from God is to run right into him. Why? Because God's everywhere at one time. got too big to run away from. And God would bless me, and God would encourage me, and God would just prop me up when I was too weak to stand for myself. So, yeah, I had those moments, but
yes,
not like Job. And it we don't know, like you pointed out, we don't know how long it took Job to get to that point. But God is able to do exceeding abundantly above.
Amen. And you know, Bishop, the thing that we make clear is even though the phase that I was in where I was just blithering idiot, I never gave up on God. I never was angry with God. No, I take that back. I was angry. I was disappointed with God, but I never gave up on God. And I understood it was my struggle because I wanted it to be a certain way. I always said this. I wanted this to happen. I wanted God to make her okay. I wanted God to bring her back and make everything fine. That's what I wanted. I wanted to be the mom that had my way, the kid that was pouting, and Dad, I wanted to be the way I wanted to be. But what I ended up understanding is that as I went through that, God wanted to use me to glorify God. I was supposed to be the trophy like Job. Job was God's trophy to show the enemy, to be the example. I couldn't do it right then, but guess what? In my lifetime, I didn't understand it. I have been the only person that women would talk to because I lost a child too. I have been the only person that somebody, so I've been able to be that trophy, that thing that gave God the glory through what happened to me. Now, I don't wish that on anybody in the world, but God used it to glorify God's self. And I live today to celebrate, to lift him up. I continue to show and to tell people who God is and who I am in him. No, I couldn't do what Job did, baby. I couldn't immediately say. And we don't know if it was immediate. We don't know how long it took.
Exactly.
Job got there. We got there. We are there. Sometimes God uses us and says, have you considered my servant? But you got to understand what that means. Servanthood. Job was not just serving God. Y'all don't get that twisted. There was a covenant relationship. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and everybody who accepts the Lord, is not willing to be a disciple. Don't get that twisted. It's folk come in church that they have accepted him, but they're going to be babies the rest of their life. That's all they're going to do is suck on milk and wine and need something. But there's some people who choose to be a disciple who go the whole gamut. They grow, they're in relationship, they serve, they give their all to the Lord. There's a big difference between a baby disciple. There's a difference between one that does not have a relationship. It's people that are biblically dead, that they're spiritually dead. They are not alive in the Lord. And they go to church too. There's some folk you will find that will have accepted the Lord and still cuss, fuss, go out, party. They're not growing. They're not trying to grow. And those are the people that we have to pray and ask and wonder, you know, that, but that's between them and God. Did they really accept the Lord and give their hearts to them, to him? But that's between them and God. But the Bible does say you will know the fruit, the tree, by the fruit bears. Job was in a covenant relationship with God. Where are we? Where are we? Where are we? So anybody else on the line want to share? 502, do you want to share? Brother Lewis, do you have a story, a Job story, where God, you were functioning in a suffering Job moment. Brother Brian, do you have something you want to share? Anybody? If not, we will move on. Is someone trying to speak? Okay. So no one is trying to speak. So Margaret, I have a question. What, when you hear that the Lord has asked, have you considered my servant Job, and the consideration that Satan pays to the saints? What Virgin was saying is that he regards them with wonder when he considers the difference between them and himself, talking about Satan. Why do you think Satan thinks that? Because, see, he was the traitor, right? He was the traitor. Mm-hmm. And he could, it says, cannot help being astounded when he is forced to believe another man to be faithful when he couldn't be. Come on, y'all. Y'all know he's already angry. You know he's always, always trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And you know he's got to hate Job at this point.
Amen.
So isn't that why he went through the process of saying the different attacks that the enemy made? But we got to understand, y'all, the attack was on God through Job. Let's not get that mixed up. The enemy was attacking God through Job. Can you see that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's who he wants to hurt. You got this person that was made a little lower than the angels, and he's faithful, and Lucifer was not, who claimed to be the morning star, who led the chorus, who created the fight and the battle, and went and took a third of the angels and had them go against God, and they fought and were kicked out.
Uh-huh.
He kicked off.
Yeah.
So the fight between good and... Go ahead.
Dr. Susie, this is Bishop Michael. To further bring that point home, every time one of us can praise and adore, worship, sing a song to God, the enemy is so infuriated because that was his job. He was the worshiper. Now, here's Job getting up, giving acts of worship to God and interceding on behalf of his children.
Come on.
Okay, so that's like a real slap in his face. So, okay, see, I'm going to take your number one worshiper, and I'm going to slap you in the face with it.
Uh-huh.
And he never would curse God. He never would. So the enemy of God, the accuser, as I like how Spurgeon called him, the fiend. When the fiend sees us worship, sees us going into worship and praising God and having a relationship with God, he realizes
well,
that
couldn't
he
do.
Never...
Well, he lost.
He can never do it again.
Yeah. He can't get back where he was. Uh-huh.
And here we are in his place.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So y'all, let me ask this. You brought up a ideal point, Bishop. Why were we created? To do what? To do what? What did Job do? To worship God.
To worship God.
Yeah.
To worship God.
To show forth my praise.
That's it.
We were created to worship God.
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. We were created to worship God. And this is the issue, y'all. I had to ask myself,
I've been going through, I wasn't created to go and enjoy a job that I like and have somebody like me, because that's what, I wasn't created to have a beautiful house and a nice car and a nice home. I wasn't created to have beautiful children that were productive and successful. I wasn't excuse me, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So guess what? Anything outside of worshiping God is a blessing. It ain't mandatory. We don't have to have it. It's a blessing. We were made for one purpose only, to worship God. I wasn't guaranteed no job that I wanted. That ain't my purpose, to come and please me. I said I wanted to serve God. And the moment I gave my life to the Lord and said I was going to be a disciple, that all changed. My purpose was to worship, is to worship the Lord my God. Understanding what that looks like, y'all, we got to change. We get upset when we don't get our way. We get upset if we don't have a nice house or a nice car. We get upset if the church ain't big enough or don't have, that ain't even fundamental. That's not even basic. That's not foundational, y'all. Our real purpose of being here is for one thing, to live a life that worships God, to glorify him, to magnify his name. It ain't about our kids. If our children die, they go to be with the Lord. If our loved ones die, as much as it hurts, they go to be with the Lord. Our job is to worship and praise his mighty name.
Amen.
That's deep for me. I don't know about y'all, but I
It's deep. Yeah. It's deep.
And there's something about when we worship God. And this is Bishop Michael in talking. When we worship and have a lifestyle of worship, and we actually can feel the atmosphere change, hallelujah, just from us worshiping God. Just from us worshiping, just from, as Dr. Stevens said, just from doing what we were created to do, and the presence of God comes in. It's not you. You're not that anointed where you can make God come in. Hallelujah. But God is enthroned on the praises of his people. You're welcoming him. You're creating the atmosphere where God is welcome. And God comes in wherever he's welcome. And when we have that, you know, even in the midst, even when we were suffering, when my dad was making his transition, there was worship. It wasn't easy to say bye to daddy, you know. And I look so much like him, it still, you know, it spooks me sometimes when I look in the mirror how much I look like him. So I feel like daddy's never left, but that's another story. But it was worship that got my sisters through this. And it's worship that's getting, you know, his boys through this. And he's been gone since 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something about us being able to worship, to do, I like that, Dr. Susie, to do what God created us for in the first place.
Yeah.
That's going to be with me forever. Whenever we worship God, we're doing, we're actually in the will of God when we're worshiping him. No matter what tragedy happens, or what celebration happens. Amen. When we celebrate an accomplishment, that's, come on now, you are doing what God has created you to do. Thank you, Jesus.
And, you know, it blew me away, y'all, when I saw this Spurgeon had said that the enemy was ticked off. And I said this earlier, just a few, but I want to quote what he says. He says, this is what the enemy was thinking. I, a prince, a peer of God's parliament, would not submit my will to Jehovah. I thought it better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. I did not keep my proper domain, but fell from my throne. How is it that these stand? Now, you know he can't stand us. The moment Adam and Eve got in the garden, he was trying to get them to act like him, to have pride and to turn away from God and to be disobedient, to be like him, to rise up. That's why he told Eve, you can be like God. That's why he wanted, to be like God. And so he asked, what grace is it that keeps them? He was a vessel of gold, yet he was broken. I'm going to tell y'all something. We cannot glorify God until sometimes we are broken. And it's in our brokenness, hallelujah, that we're able to worship. It's in our obscurity. It's in our persecution that that faithfulness to God comes through. And we exalt him. The songwriter said, Bishop,
welcome into this broken vessel. You desire to abide into the praises of our people. So we lift our hands, we lift our hearts as we welcome you into this holy Prince of Praise.
Yes.
In our brokenness, he's there to minister, to heal, to give instruction. He's there. What shall we do? I'm going to worship him. It makes the enemy mad, but, you know, I don't care what the devil, what makes him mad. I'm healed because of worship. I'm saved because somebody was thoughtful enough to think of me.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody was praying for me. Just like we were praying for people's children and grandchildren today. And I believe, God, with all my heart, that those kids are going to be saved.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, you know, y'all.
Dr.
Margaret, go ahead.
This is Margaret. I'm just struck realizing that Satan is angry and he's jealous. Because has no future. He does not have an everlasting soul.
No. Well, he's got one to burn in hell.
Yeah,
to forever.
But he's doomed. He's defeated. He's a defeated foe. And that's why he's so jealous of us, because we have a bright future. And no matter how much he rails against us, he can't prevail. Even if we die, we will rise again. We'll have eternal life so long as we believe in our Lord Jesus and take him as our Savior and claim his blood
and
our salvation.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And also the devil knows that God loves us, and he's got to be angry at that as well. He's fallen from his place of glory.
Yes. And God loved him. God loved him, remember? He made him higher than the other angels, more beautiful.
Yes.
And I'm sure he thinks he's prettier than we are. And he looks at us and goes, now look.
Look,
that's exactly right. That thing. I can hear him say that thing. That weak thing. Yes, well. But the piece is that how can we be happy? Praising God, raising our hands, glorifying God, singing praises to his name in the midst of adversity, in the midst of challenge, in the midst of the struggle that he creates, and we still praising God, and we still telling God how much we love him, we still at peace and trusting him, and yet he is angry and mad because he's always unhappy, always sad, jealous.
We have something he can't get.
Amen.
Hey, come on now.
Praise God.
Come on.
Glory to God.
He was right in the midst of it and left it because he wanted to be like God. I will ascend and be as the Most High. Matter of fact, he said, I will be the Most High. God said, no, you won't. Like lightning.
So,
I beheld Satan like lightning. That thing.
So Spurgeon Bishop says he admires and hates the peace that reigns in the believer's soul. Then he goes further and says, do you not think that he considers them to detect, if possible, any flaws, any fault in them by way of solace to himself? He's looking for stuff. They're not pure.
Yes.
These blood-bought ones, blood-bought, I like that, blood-bought ones, these elect from before the foundation of the world, come on, they still sin. These adopted children of God for whom the glorious Son bowed his head and breathed his last, even they offend. The Trinity did all of that because of the love he has for us. He don't have that kind of love. He's doomed. He's going to go to the lake of fire forever. Nothing he can do to fix it. And he's depressed and sad. But praise be to God. When we're persecuted, when we struggle, I don't know. I put no weapon formed against me on. That shall prosper. Come on, somebody. I get down on my knees and I thank God and I praise him and I ask him to walk with me. I go to battle at my job and I say, Lord, the battle is yours. All I got to do is be present. Sometimes you ain't got to fight because it ain't my battle. It's the Lord's. Because he's going to take care of me. He's going to watch over me. He's going to make sure that I succeed and have victory in Christ because of whose I am. And the enemy is angry. He's angry. He's got to be delightful when he thinks we have these secret sins, right? Because he knows, he says, each sin born in the believer's heart cries to him, my father, my father. Then he feels something like the joy of fatherhood, and he sees his foul offspring. He looks at the old man, according to Ephesians 4:21 in the Christian, and admires the tenacity with which he maintains the whole, with which he continues to bait, with which he continues to pull forth and try to destroy, because the new creation that God has placed in him, that's where we're going. And he can't do nothing when that new creation takes over. I always say the situation, when you got those two natures in, which one will prevail? It's the like two dogs. It's the one you feed. It's the one you feed. So that's the starting point of his consideration. Go ahead, Bishop.
This is Bishop in Chongsif. I heard somebody say, and it was so accurate, Satan is a 6,000-plus-year-old anthropologist. Satan has studied man. Satan knows our strengths. Satan knows our weaknesses. Mm-hmm. He knows our temptations. He knows what we love. And he's going to exploit that. And the reason it brings it up is in that part where Spurgeon likens the enemy to a fisherman. Because we know what lures to use to get their fish. Some of them will get a crankbait. Some of them it takes a worm. Some of them it takes a small fish. Some of them will do, bite anything. And the enemy knows what our weaknesses are. And he'll use them. And then afterwards, after he gets us to use them, he'll condemn us. He'll make us feel like we shut God down. So that's where I'm at with this thing. And the mercy of it all, the beauty of it all, is God is watching and God is looking. And God has no, he said, I will in no wise cast you out. Hallelujah.
But you know,
he says, I'm forever married to the backslider.
Amen.
Somebody listening to it. Yeah. And that's,
Amen.
That's what really
and,
kicks the devil off, because he gives us so many chances. God gives us so many chances. I'd have been gone
Amen.
On my second chance. Amen.
And, you know, that's what a lot of my veterans struggle with, Bishop. They struggle with the fact that they think, I've messed up. God can't give me another chance, but that's not true. God's arms are always open and extended. Somebody needs to hear that tonight, that God always has his arm extended. And all you got to do is metanoia, turn away, repent, turn away from whatever it is and turn towards the Lord. And that's why he says, God's servant, none like him. So we need to understand as believers, when we do what God desires, when we are doing what the Lord is asking us to, then you need to expect Satan to be, as Spurgeon puts it, most busy against you. You who care to contend for a province covered with stones and barren rocks and ice-bound but frozen seas, that's his vernacular. But it was saying that we have these fertile valleys and crops where the farmer toils and is rewarded, because if we stand against Satan, then we will be victorious. But the enemy is going to constantly be on us, fighting against us, because he knows that we're trying to do. I've heard people say, he ain't going to bother you if he already got you. It's when you're doing everything you can for the Lord that he wants to fight you. He wants to keep you from being successful, because his goal is to keep you from being God's trophy. He's trying to hurt God. He's trying to hurt the Lord through us. And Job, go ahead.
Dr. Susie.
Go ahead, Mark. Yes,
Spurgeon,
Margaret.
Mentions the verse from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5:25, where it says, brethren, pray for us, and we should covet and seek the prayers of one another, because as we are under the consideration of Satan, it is by the grace and divine power of God that we can be saved from his devices.
Amen. Amen.
And
Amen.
He says, let us be made rich by your faithful prayers so that we may be kept even to the end.
Amen. Amen.
And also he mentions the fact that we suffer actually strengthen us in our faith.
Amen. That's Amen.
Even
that's
though
exactly
it's not a
want.
Way I would like to be strengthened.
Come
but,
on.
But it makes us strong instead of allowing us to be weak.
Amen. So we have to be careful and watch when we are deceived or the temptations that occur. And God delights for us to go back to being worshiped with joy, for he says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, yea, righteous, and shout for joy, and ye that are upright in heart, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The enemy does not like that, because as Margaret said, we grow in strength. And if he cannot destroy us, come on. Sometimes
we
are broken.
Victors.
Sometimes we fall. But we grow up and we're stronger and we become victorious and we fight and we stand and we share and we care and we love and we grow, and he hates it. Because we learn to stand against the schemes of Satan. And believe me, he's repetitive. If he's done it once, he'll do it again. His methodologies and his schemes of attack are consistent. He knows what it is that each of us has as a weak point. And he feels compelled to use a battering ram against us over and over to fight against us. But his slings cannot destroy us. His battering cannot destroy us, for the Lord is on our side. Amen. And he tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion walking about whom he may destroy, seeking that. And so we pray in Thessalonians 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. Brethren, pray for us. And that's where we are tonight. We are excited about the fact that we understand that this war is that of the adversary. So I'm going to ask everybody as we close, what's the one take home that you all have tonight that you'll take home so we can share this with our radio audience? Listening audience, the one take home. David, did you have anything you wanted to share as a take home?
Yes, I do. I was on my speakerphone and it was bringing a whole lot of interruption. But when I heard y'all say that we are here to worship God, and that is our goal in life because of the goodness of God toward us, I could use that and spread the word around, because a whole lot of times we don't witness to people like we should. We could talk that talk, but we are not walking that walk. So he said, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourself. So I don't want to be a deception to nobody. So I'm going to take that, and you said that. Consider, Job, it could have been one of us. Are we going to, you know, have the same kind of attitude to keep on worshiping God through all that we're going through anyway? So I'm going to just take that with me, and I just appreciate you. They put me on the line tonight, because we need the word in our life every day of our life. We are here to grow stronger in him. We can't stay as
Amen.
A baby. Hey. Welcome, Brother David.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Brother Michael.
So who else, 502, is there anybody that you want to take home that you got from the lesson tonight?
This is Margaret at 502. I have just kind of dreaded this recent study, because I don't like Satan, and I know he's my enemy, and I know he might be tougher than I am. He is. But it has just brought home that the Lord is my shepherd and God is my God. Satan is nothing next to him. And I am just clinging to the Lord. And I know that Satan has nothing on me. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother Michael, do you have a take home?
It's worship. I mean, mm-hmm. just continue to have that worship. I noticed a lot of times when those dark times and those down times that I've been in is because I've been resting on my laurels. And just to have a continued worship on my lips, in my heart, in my head. That's a good
Amen.
Weapon. Worship is a weapon. Praise is a weapon. Amen. I'm going to keep on sharpening my weapons, because I never know when I'm going to have to use it. But I will use it. Yes, I will.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm from the
Amen.
West, I'm
Thank
from
you.
The west
Thank
side
you.
Of heaven.
It's 8:24, brother. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Bishop. So worship, amen. Minister Joe. I want to share what I got then, Minister Joe, if you would share yours and close us out. You know, I have been in awe that whether we understand it or not, the enemy will try to hurt God through our lives. But when we're steadfast and immovable, we become God's glory. We glorify God. He rejoices because we have stood the test and made the enemy angry because he couldn't do what he planned to do. And we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to do it all just at one time because we don't know how long it took Job to get to where he is. And that's what jumped out at me is trust God, not yourself, with whatever it is you got to go through. God would only allow what it is that God thinks that we can handle. Not what we think we can handle, but what God knows. And so I have to put all my faith and trust in the Lord because Amen. That's where my strength is. Amen. Yeah. Mr. Joe.
Okay. I just listening to the testimonies were really inspirational to me. And I thought about a song by Donnie McClurkin that says, "When I've done all that I can, just stand." And to anyone that's listening tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I got good news for you. He's waiting and mm-hmm. he's willing to accept you into the fold of believers. All you have to do is confess with your mouth that he is the Son of God. Believe in your heart that he's coming back again just like he said he would. And know that there is nothing in your life, past, present, or future, that God cannot take care of. Life is very difficult at times, but if we truly trust in the Lord and lean not to our own understanding, he will see us through, and he will see you through. It gets hard sometimes, but as Job is the example for us, and that is way more than what any of us has had to bear. We know that our troubles do not come from the Lord, but we know that they may be allowed by the Lord to strengthen us and to know that he is with us always. So I ask you to talk to Dr. Susie or Bishop Scotty and anyone else that is able to help you to get the strength that you need. Being a Christian is not an easy task. It wasn't for Jesus, and it's sure not going to be for us. So I don't want you to be under a false perception, but I do want you to know that he has promised us life everlasting. And God is a God that will not, that cannot lie. So I pray that you will take consideration to establish a relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior as we close this Bible study tonight. And remember the words that Job said to us when he was speaking to the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God bless you all and keep you in his arms. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. For those of you who have joined and accepted the Lord as your personal Savior tonight, we are so excited. We welcome you into the family of God, and we ask that you get involved in a Bible-believing church, that you accept the Lord and continue to join in Bible study here, and that you become baptized and join us here every Tuesday at 7 Eastern Standard Time. The number is 646-478-4932. That's 646-478-4932. Every Tuesday from 7 Eastern Central Standard Time, to 8:30-ish. God's blessings be with you. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.